This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
Exactly a week after the deadly riot on Capitol Hill, U.S. lawmakers vote on impeaching President Donald Trump. This time, some Republicans say they will vote in favor of that action.
Plus, Wake Schools is considering some changes for second semester. Find out which grades could be impacted and what's on the table.
And a third COVID-19 vaccine could soon be available, but there are still some concerns.
And I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center. We have been monitoring these proceedings all morning, and now at this noon hour, we are hearing from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. I will say overall, as we look live at the U.S. House floor, what we are seeing are lawmakers really, really identifying with the gravity of today's hearing and what will eventually lead up to that vote that's happening this afternoon. Take a listen to some of the lawmakers.
Mr. Speaker, we are debating this historic measure at an actual crime scene, and we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the President of the United States.
It's that the U.S. House of Representatives has every right to impeach the President of the United States. But what we're doing today, rushing this impeachment in an hour or two-hour long debate on the floor of this chamber, bypassing judiciary, poses great questions about the constitutionality of this process.
You heard members there speaking. That was just ahead of a procedural vote that already happened this morning. Now, they will have that big vote, that impeachment vote, later on this afternoon. Of course, a lot of things in store. Nancy Pelosi expected to speak at 12:15. We'll be monitoring that. Also, NBC News will have a special report. Time that vote happens. Back to you.
So, as Micaiah was saying, right now in Washington, members of the House debating that impeachment, the second time President Trump has faced charges since taking office.
The move comes exactly a week after a violent mob stormed the U.S. Capitol for hours. As Jay Gray reports, many lawmakers say that attack was incited by the president.
The center of our nation's government is off-center right now. Troops actually sleeping overnight on the grounds of the Capitol. That symbol of freedom locked down, as for the second time in his administration.
House will be in order.
Lawmakers bring impeachment charges against President Trump.
If these actions are not worthy of impeachment, then what is an impeachable offense?
This is a reckless impeachment. This will only bring up the hate and fire more than ever before.
The official charge is incitement of insurrection.
And we fight like hell, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
After the president rallied supporters just before their deadly attack a week ago today, a speech the president says was, quote, totally appropriate, though a growing number of those in his party disagree. And unlike the first time he faced charges from Congress now, prominent Republicans, including Liz Cheney, say they will vote for impeachment. The Wyoming congresswoman writing, "There has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution." The impeachment measure is expected to easily pass and will move on to the Senate. Jay Gray, NBC News, Washington.
We want to hear what you think. Should President Trump be impeached over the riot at the Capitol? Go to WRAL.com/yourvoice. Answer yes or no and leave us a video message with your response.
State lawmakers are back in Raleigh at this hour to begin their 2021 session. They'll be sworn in today and choose their leaders. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us with a look at the first day of operation in the General Assembly. Ken.
Jeff, opening day is usually a festive occasion with families and celebrations. But like everything else, it's different this year because of the pandemic. Lawmakers can usually bring loved ones onto the chamber floor for the swearing in, but not this year. A limited number of families of first-time lawmakers are seated instead in the upstairs galleries. Once the House and Senate members are sworn in, they will choose their leaders. Republicans still hold the majority in both chambers, so House Speaker Tim Moore and Senate Pro Tem Phil Berger are expected to be reelected to their leadership positions. Now, this session brings a long to-do list for lawmakers. At the top of the list, COVID relief and the state's vaccination efforts. Education during the pandemic will also be on the agenda. Legislators are also expected to pass laws limiting the governor's emergency powers. Even as the state posts record numbers of coronavirus cases and hospitalizations, GOP leaders say Cooper's emergency mandates have been too broad and have hurt businesses. There's also heightened security concerns today after last week's riots at the U.S. Capitol. Law enforcement here in Raleigh on high alert. At the moment, though, everything appears to be calm, Jeff.
Thanks for that, Ken. A new study from Stanford University suggests college campuses may be COVID-19 super spreaders. That tops our coronavirus developments at this hour. A new study from the United Kingdom suggests nearly half of those working in the intensive care unit with COVID-19 patients have poor mental health. And approval for the AstraZeneca vaccine is expected at the end of the month, making it the third vaccine against the coronavirus available in Europe.
Makaya Thurman here in the Live Center. We are taking a look after just now getting our coronavirus numbers. Now, we want to start with a note. They are already saying that there has been a technical issue. So today we'll see numbers that are lower than expected, and tomorrow we will see numbers that are higher than expected. That said, take a look at our current newly reported cases. We're at just over 5,000, and our current hospitalizations are at 3,951. Again, these are lower than normal, but tomorrow they are expecting those numbers to tick up. Back to you.
A week from today, students of all grade levels in Wake County schools are set to receive some form of in-person learning. School leaders have called a special meeting tomorrow to discuss if it's worth bringing all students back to the classroom for the second semester. Aaron Thomas is live outside Dillard Drive Elementary School in Raleigh with more on this. Aaron.
Renee, school board members are specifically focused on fourth and fifth grade students. Tomorrow, they may take action on having them continue next semester with the rotations of in-person learning and remote learning that they're already on instead of daily in-person instruction. Now, some board members do not feel comfortable having these students in a large number of students in a classroom when COVID cases continue to spike statewide. Fourth and fifth grade classrooms don't have size limits like kindergarten through third grade students, and they can be hard to maintain social distance. They say that the current plan of mixing online and in-person instruction has kept classroom sizes for fourth and fifth graders to about 20 students. If approved, this decision will be made less than a week before students return to the classroom.
This is just going to be a chaotic year, and things are going to go back and forth, and it's kind of, since it's out of our hands, we just reached a point of there's no point in stressing about it.
Now, we are working to speak with more parents about this, as well as school officials and health experts. Tomorrow's special call meeting does take place at 3:30 in the afternoon, and of course we'll have coverage for you. Renee.
Aaron Thomas, live outside Dillard Drive Elementary School. Thanks, Aaron. The Roanoke Rapids Graded School District will remain virtual through March 16th. This is because of the staggering number of coronavirus cases in our state.
Cars began lining up early this morning outside a drive-through vaccination clinic in Person County. Even though it didn't open until 10 a.m., they were there early. WRO's Casey Cunningham shows us the scene from Palace Point in Roxborough.
After hours and hours of waiting, you can see people here behind us in Person County getting vaccinated over here by these tents. So this particular vaccine clinic here at Palace Point is for healthcare workers who haven't been vaccinated and the seniors who are 75 and over. We were able to talk with some of the very first people in line who showed up at 3:45 to make sure they got a spot at this first come, first serve vaccine clinic.
Why did you decide to get it?
So we can see our family in peace, not thinking we're going to get the virus from anybody.
That's something so many families are so desperately looking forward to. So this vaccine clinic goes until 5 this afternoon, and I've talked with health officials here in Person County who tell me they believe they have a sufficient supply to vaccinate everyone who will come here today. They have another vaccine clinic here tomorrow. Casey Cunningham, WRL News in Person County.
Other options to get vaccinated include Halifax Community College in Halifax County. The site is offering vaccines on a first-come, first-served basis. In Cumberland County today, Cape Fear Valley Health will start scheduling appointments for people to get a coronavirus vaccine.
Stocks are mixed ahead of the big impeachment vote. The Dow Jones down 16 points right now. S&P 500 in the green, only advancing 4 points. And NASDAQ advancing 58 points at this hour. We'll keep an eye on these numbers for you throughout the newscast. The Harnett County Sheriff's Office is looking for the person or people who shot and killed a man. Our Ricky News Tracker and Sky 5 were at the scene off U.S. 401 South. This is in Bun Level. The Sheriff's Office says this happened around 3 and deputies were there investigating for hours. Officers identified the victim as 51-year-old Charles Bias from Bun Level. Deputies arrived at an auto body shop where they found Bias with gunshot wounds.
I mean, he was a great man. He looked out for our community. Anybody who's shortchanged, he didn't mind helping out and looking out and accept his payment on a later date. That's just a sad story. He was a great man.
We talked to people who said they are Bias's family and they've asked for privacy.
Next at noon, camping at the Capitol, the scene as National Guard troops grow in number and make themselves at home at the People's House.
Also, months after he says he was poisoned, a Russian politician returns to his home country. We'll tell you why he went back.
Plus, a third vaccine is about to roll out in Europe. Why AstraZeneca's effectiveness is being questioned in the U.S.
Watching WRAL News, now streaming free. Download and watch live on your favorite devices today.
You're looking inside at the U.S. Capitol building on the House floor around 12:30. NBC News will provide special live coverage of the proceedings in the second impeachment of President Trump. We will continue with our local news coverage on Fox 50. Lawmakers are preparing to vote on a single article of impeachment charging President Trump with incitement of insurrection after a mob stormed the U.S. Capitol Wednesday.
Makaya Thurman here in the Live Center following more breaking news. The Trump family now responding to news that the city of New York will not do business with the Trump Organization. Now, this morning, Mayor Bill de Blasio held a news conference saying that they will no longer facilitate any Trump organizations, and that includes a park, a carousel, a skating rink. And now Eric Trump is responding, saying, quote, New York City has no legal right to end our contracts, and if they elect to proceed, they will owe the Trump Organization over $30 million. This is nothing more than political discrimination and attempt to infringe on the First Amendment, and we plan to fight it vigorously. Back to you.
Makaya, thanks. Members of Congress now have to walk through metal detectors to get to the floor of the House of Representatives. The detectors were installed amid concerns about certain representatives carrying weapons. A Colorado representative vowed to carry her gun around Capitol Hill in her campaign ads. Firearms are permitted in congressional offices, and representatives are not required to pass through metal detectors to access those areas of the Capitol.
Hundreds of National Guard troops are sleeping on the stone floor of the U.S. Capitol as security ramps up ahead of the Biden inauguration. There are already 6,200 troops on the grounds in D.C. At least 10,000 will be in place by Saturday, with another 5,000 on standby. It's believed this is the first time troops have set up camp inside the Capitol since the Civil War. E-commerce company Etsy has removed a racially offensive shirt from its website. A rioter in the U.S. Capitol siege was spotted wearing a similar shirt with the message Camp Auschwitz. Etsy removed the item immediately upon learning about it and banned the shop that listed it. A spokesperson said Etsy does not condone items that glorify hate or violence.
The Lee County School Board is investigating a member who attended President Trump's rally in D.C. Sherry Lynn Womack is standing by her decision to go to the rally. Meanwhile, the public is calling for her resignation. Some members of the public gathered at Lee County High School last night where the school board met. They demanded Womack's resignation while holding signs and shouting. The public outcry came after Womack was quoted in a USA Today article saying she went to the rally to demand better election security and stronger voter ID laws. Womack spoke with WRAL last night and tells us she did not take part in any of the violence and had the right to be there.
Going down there, that I have the freedom of expression just like anybody else. And being on the school board, when they did the quote, whatever they did it from, I never once said I'm here officially speaking as a member of the Board of Education on behalf of the Board of Education.
During last night's meeting, the board announced an investigation will look into whether Womack broke any board policies while in D.C. It's not clear how long that may take.
YouTube is the latest internet platform to take action against President Donald Trump. The video sharing site has banned his channel for at least a week. Until then, President Trump's channel cannot upload any new videos, and comments on existing videos are temporarily disabled. YouTube says a recent video on Trump's channel earned what it calls a strike. The platform would not specify the content of that video and only said it incited violence. The video has been removed. Well, wear a mask or get a fine. House Democrats want to make it a requirement for members to wear masks on the House floor. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi already requires masks in the chamber, but that rule is not always followed. The new fines will be $500 for the first offense, $2,500 for a second offense, and that money will be deducted directly from lawmakers' pay. The move comes after three representatives tested positive for COVID-19 following last week's riot. The Trump administration scores a legal victory over access to an abortion drug. The U.S. Supreme Court granted its request to reinstate FDA rules for the drug called mifepristone. Known as RU486, the drug is used for non-surgical abortions up to about 10 weeks of pregnancy. FDA rules require an in-person visit with a medical professional to pick up that drug. But a lower court temporarily suspended the rule in July, citing the COVID pandemic.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro urged the National Assembly to investigate what he said was an American attempt to assassinate him. Maduro's administration broke off relations with the U.S. in 2019. It has repeatedly accused Washington of pushing forward plans to overthrow the Venezuelan government. Russian opposition politician Alexei Navalny plans to return to Russia this weekend. Navalny spent months in Germany recovering from being poisoned with a nerve agent last August. In recent months, Russian authorities have ramped up pressure against Navalny. They've launched a new criminal investigation against him and his anti-corruption foundation. Navalny calls the new charges against him fabricated.
Cleanup is underway in parts of western Oregon after heavy rain and strong winds caused widespread damage. The Salmon River is running fast and furious, already spilling out of its banks as water levels continue to rise there. A number of roads have been closed due to high water and debris. The rain has also caused several landslides and power outages across the region. We look to be pretty clear from rain in our region right now. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
That's right. It has been fairly wet. Of course, it is our wet season. We do have some showers in the forecast for tonight and again on Friday night. None of this should really affect what you're doing outside for the next few days. Our temperatures are going to be nice. Jeff, I picked this just for you. This is a look, of course, at the Longleaf Golf and Family Club here in Southern Pines. What a gorgeous day. Temperatures are still a little bit on the cool side, but we're going to warm up into the upper 50s to close to 60. Especially down here in Southern Pines. Just a few minutes ago, I saw all the carts lined up here, and I think those folks jumped in and took off down the golf course. I highly recommend. It may be a little bit chilly for being outside, of course, but there, of course, if you're on the water, that is, plenty of things that you can do outside that are not too cold. But the next thing I want to show you is what's happening out at Lake Gaston. There you go. I don't see any boats out there, but still, it's beautiful to look at. Isn't it? You could just sit there or take a hike around the lake, maybe. Looks gorgeous. Our temperatures are climbing into the 50s in a lot of spots. It's 51 in Siler City, 50 in Lewisburg, 46 in Roxboro. Temperatures are in the mid to upper 40s up near Lake Gaston and the Virginia line. It's 50 in Goldsboro right now. We head down to the south. It's 52 in Southern Pines, 50 in Raleigh, 53 in Clinton, 50 in Goldsboro. So temperatures are coming on up, and we'll see temperatures climbing, as I mentioned, all the way up into the mid to upper 50s for this afternoon. This time of year, we tend to see the warmest temperature mid-afternoon, so between 3 and 4 o'clock. And then after that, our temperatures will drop, and our skies will start to cloud up a little bit. It won't be as cold as it was this morning. We had widespread temperatures well below freezing. We're going to keep it above freezing overnight as we have a little precipitation that will roll in. And coming up in half an hour at about 12:45, we'll go over tonight's rain and the rain that we'll see on Friday night. The rain on Friday night will come with a front. Look at the cold air that comes dropping in a little bit later in the week. This is Friday at 5 o'clock. Our cold front starting to move in, and behind it some colder temperatures. So nice and mild for the next few days, but we get this shot of some colder air, and that rolls in just in time for the weekend and lingers into next week. Now we'll see some sunshine with that, but we'll definitely see a drop in our temperatures. So January so far has been a bit warmer than normal. We see this 41 41.9 at RDU and 45.1 at Fayetteville. That's an average of temperatures. So that's the high and the low averaged. But we are looking at 1.5 degrees warmer than normal at RDU and a little over 2 degrees warmer than normal for January so far. We'll see more warm temperatures for the next 3 days. Above normal today, tomorrow, and Friday. Our normal high is about 50 degrees and our normal low is about 32. So a little bit cooler, a little closer to normal Saturday and Sunday. On Monday for the MLK Junior holiday, it'll be dry and cool, but if you have plans to be outside for a day of service, the weather looks fine. Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up on WRL this afternoon, we'll continue to follow the impeachment process every step of the way. Plus, homebound, on the cusp of qualifying, older Americans are expressing frustration and confusion over the ever-changing guidance on who gets the vaccine. Amanda Lamb gets the answer seniors need to know, especially those here in North Carolina.
Then at 6, COVID at the store, a restaurant, schools. You're asking why every case isn't reported. And 5 on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty shares a reality check from a local doctor. It may change the way you think about leaving the house. A new documentary premieres tonight on WRAL. Marianne examines the life and work of Marianne Black. She served Durham as everything from social worker to county commissioner to a state representative. Lena Tillette hosts a story told through interviews with people touched by Marianne's work and her surviving family members. The half-hour documentary Marianne premieres tonight at 7:30 here on WRAL. Tomorrow night at 7:30, we will recognize the best of the Triangle. People, places, and experiences, all as part of the WRL Voters' Choice Awards. Your votes determine the winners in more than 100 categories, including Best Donuts, Best Small Business, and Woman of the Year. You can register for the virtual event right now on the WRL News app.
Just 2 years ago, Kevin Hart's future looked uncertain after he stepped down from hosting the Oscars. But the comedian, producer, and actor is now the latest celebrity to ink a deal with Netflix. Hart signed a 4-film deal for his production company, Heartbeat Productions. The deal includes a first look clause, which means Netflix will have the right to greenlight future projects before Hart can shop them around Hollywood. Issa Rae is the latest celeb teaching a master class. The creator of The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl and the wildly popular HBO hit Insecure discusses how she went from a web series to TV and creating outside the lines. Look for more information on masterclass.com. Other instructors include Samuel L. Jackson on acting, Misty Copeland, who teaches ballet technique, and Phil Ivey, who teaches poker strategy.
Do you remember you or someone you know or love the feeling of reading that college acceptance letter? One student in Kentucky is sharing his joy via social media.
Status update.
Ooh, it said welcome Frank, and I was like, oh.
And welcome back. We want to take you back live to the nation's capital, where House lawmakers are meeting and debating ahead of their planned vote to impeach President Trump for inciting the riot at the U.S. Capitol 1 week ago.
Let's get to the Live Center right now, because Micaiah Thurman has been keeping a close watch on what is happening right now. Micaiah, bring us up to speed here.
We've been listening in to the special report, also monitoring things on the House floor right now. And right now, the clerk just wrapped up calling things into session. Let's listen in to what's happening.
For yielding and for his leadership. Madam Speaker, in his annual address to our predecessors in Congress in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln spoke of the duty of the patriot in an hour of decisive crisis for the American people. Fellow citizens, he said, we cannot escape history. We will be remembered in spite of ourselves. No personal significance or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We here, he said, hold the power and bear the responsibility. In the Bible, St. Paul wrote, think on these things. We must think on what Lincoln told us. We, even here, even us here, hold the power and bear the responsibility. We...
Again, live right now to Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, getting things called into session. We just saw her walk into the House chambers just a moment ago, not speaking to reporters, as she previously said that she would. Just going in at that point in her opening speech, just saying that this is an important moment, the gravity of this moment. We've heard from a number of lawmakers who said the same thing. Back to you.
There's a business meeting today and a vote to come. Micaiah, thank you. Approval for the AstraZeneca vaccine is expected at the end of the month, making it the third vaccine against the coronavirus available in Europe. Matt Bradley reports, though, questions remain over its efficiency.
That new vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine, is approved here in Europe, then it will become the third vaccine against the coronavirus available here in Europe. Now, approval is expected to come sometime right before the end of this month. And again, that would join two other vaccines, Moderna and Pfizer, that are being distributed here. But, you know, there's already been some questions about this vaccine, even though it's likely to be approved by European officials. Australian health officials have said that it's less reliable, less effective than some of the other vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine that are already available and already being distributed throughout much of the Western world. It's not an mRNA vaccine. It's slightly less effective in clinical trials, but it is cheaper to produce and it's easier to store and distribute. Now, that could be really important because one of the big logistical challenges so far, especially on this continent, has been in getting the vaccine out to people because those mRNA vaccines require really, really low temperatures for storage and even for transportation. That means that there's a lot of challenges, especially when it comes to distributing to elderly people or less mobile people. It means that you can't just create a central node of distribution at a hospital and expect everybody to come and get vaccinated. So this could be a major change. But again, lots of questions about the efficacy of this AstraZeneca vaccine. Matt Bradley, NBC News, Paris.
The Vatican launched its COVID-19 vaccination program today. It's still not clear when Pope Francis will get a shot. The first doses were administered to doctors and other members of the Vatican Health Services. The Pope, who turned 84 last month, had part of one lung removed during an illness when he was young, increasing his vulnerability to the disease. He's also in that high-risk age group. All international air travelers will soon be required to have a negative COVID-19 test to enter the U.S. The rule states all passengers need the negative test within 3 days of boarding a flight. The order takes effect in 2 weeks. The agency says it's concerned about new variants of the virus that appear to be more transmissible.
Appalachia State and UNC Charlotte delayed the start of in-person classes as the number of coronavirus cases rises across the state. In-person classes at App State won't begin until February 1st. That is 2 weeks later than originally planned. UNC Charlotte is pushing back face-to-face classes by a month. Move-in day is less than 24 hours away for UNC Wilmington students. They can begin moving back into campus tomorrow. Classes this semester will be a mix of online, hybrid, and in-person learning. Precautions put in place this fall are still active, as well as a new campus COVID-19 testing protocol, where each student that lives on campus or comes in for in-person classes must show proof that they tested negative for the virus within the last 5 days. Duke is resuming COVID testing as students return to campus. In the past week, the school ran more than 10,000 tests, and of those, 62 came back positive, including 34 students and 28 staff. The school has more than 300 beds set aside for students to quarantine in this semester. Rigorous testing last semester kept numbers much lower than what we saw on other North Carolina campuses. Well, this Monday is a federal holiday, but for many, MLK Day, not a day off, it's a day of service. Up next, a live interview on how you can help your community.
Plus, why this Saturday is the day to put those holiday gift cards to use. Why you don't want to wait too long to treat yourself. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories. For coverage you'll find only on WREL, visit WREL.com and search only.
Welcome back this noon. We are just days away from the 26th annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. Historically, a day on, not a day off. where residents are encouraged to volunteer to improve their communities. It takes place Monday, January 18th. And in the spirit of COVID safety, United Way of the Greater Triangle is hosting a physically distanced supply drive. And joining us via Zoom this noon right now to talk about how folks can get involved is Eric Gukan with the Triangle United Way. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I know those T-shirts you're wearing, that slogan's been around for a while. It's especially poignant, though, in these days. I appreciate you wearing that. It looks great. Tell me first off about the physically distanced supply drive. How's that going to work this year?
Well, it's number one, thanks for having us on, as always. Excited to live united, and as you said, more important now than ever. The way this is going to work is we're going to be asking residents to drop off new and unopened items, including household items, school supplies, clothing, and more, that will help create much-needed kits for individuals and families that are serving nonprofits that we're partnered with throughout our service area. So Orange, Wake, Durham, and Johnston County. We're going to have two drop-off sites. So one is in Raleigh and the other one is in Durham. In Raleigh, it's at Wake Up and Read, and that's 1820 Capitol Boulevard. And in Durham, that's at the Frontier 800 Park Office Drive. So it's a great opportunity to you know, bring stuff in your car and drop it off, and really give direct service to folks in need and to the folks on the front line serving them.
I also know the Triangle United Way is always in support of various nonprofits once again this year. Meals on Wheels, Wake County Urban Ministries of Durham, there's a long list of them. How do you partner up with them, and how important is it in these times now, especially this year?
Well, the value of United Way is that we're not doing this alone. We have to do it in partnership. We have to do it together. If we're going to get if we're going to get out of this, not only get out of this crisis, but get out of this crisis better than we were before, we have to do it together. And we have professionals that wake up every day doing this stuff. And we are so proud to partner with Urban Ministries, Meals on Wheels, Interfaith Council for Social Services, Johnson Lee Harnett Community Action, and so many others. So it's an honor to be in partnership with them.
And a day on, not a day off. Folks need to remember that and get out and help. Eric Gukan, thank you so much. Triangle United Way does great things in and around our communities. We appreciate you this noon. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
The Biden-Harris inauguration festivities kick off Monday with a National Day of Service. There will be service events all across the country, most of them virtual, of course, and you can sign up on the inauguration website. The focus will be on COVID-19 relief. Don't forget to watch the 41st annual MLK Triangle Interfaith Prayer Breakfast at 8 o'clock on WREL. We'll also live stream it on WREL.com. Gerald Owens will serve as the MC. If you miss it, the program will re-air on Fox 50 at noon. Capital Broadcasting Company is a proud sponsor. You have an excuse to go shopping this weekend. Next at noon, the focused effort to make sure you use all those gift cards scattered around the house.
And there is one perk to those Girl Scouts taking their annual tradition online, how you can get your cookies faster, coming up.
These days, it seems there's a national day of everything. There's one coming up Saturday that most people will be happy about. Dan Shedman has details.
Cards. Everyone loves to receive them, but so often forgets about them.
I guess about a year and a half ago, I was going through all my some spring cleaning, and I'm not exaggerating. I came up with a stack of gift cards.
As a reminder, Tracy Tilson started National Use Your Gift Card Day the third Saturday in January.
So came up with the idea of just doing a national day to remember to use them. And it just made sense to do it after, after the holidays.
Just after the holidays is the perfect time to use gift cards, according to Sarah Skirball of Retail Me Not.
You can take advantage of all of the after Christmas sales and take advantage of those cash back offers. There are tons of retailers who are participating, and there's tons of different websites where you can take advantage of additional savings, like cash back, for example.
Skirball says more than $3 billion worth of gift cards go unused every year. She reminds consumers, don't wait too long.
Consumers need to remember that a lot of these gift cards do, in fact, have expiration dates.
Tracy Tilson has one more suggestion on National Use Your Gift Card Day.
Go out and treat yourself and do something special.
It's a day to give yourself a gift.
Sarah Skirball says most retailers are still offering to buy online pickup curbside for those who are still leery about shopping in person.
Americans spent a record $188.2 billion online this holiday season, 32% hike from last year. This is the first time there were more than $1 billion worth of online purchases daily from November through December. Analysts say part of the boost in online sales came as a result of people not going to brick and mortar stores due to the coronavirus pandemic. Speaking of online sales, the Girl Scouts of America is doing things differently for this year's cookie season. Sales will be solely online to avoid any spread of COVID-19. So the Girl Scouts have announced a partnership with Grubhub, which means you can get quick delivery of your favorite cookies at home. You can start ordering your Girl Scout cookies nationwide on their ordering site beginning February 1st.
February 1st, that's about the time when people fall short of their New Year's resolutions and quit. Coincidence? I think not. Yep. I don't know. Thin Mints may be calling you, right, Elizabeth Gardner?
I love it. I love that solution. Order them online, get them delivered by Grubhub. I mean, we're coming up with everything. But yeah, you're right. I know. February 1st. By then, you know, you're just so tired of being inside. You're just, you know, give me cookies. Goldsboro, RDU, Durham, and Wake Forest all looking beautiful this afternoon. Though today we're going to see temperatures climbing into the mid to upper 50s, tomorrow closer to 60. So nice weather to get outside. Even Friday looks pretty good. We have a couple of systems, like I told you earlier, that we're going to be following. One, I mean, this is a tiny little thing, barely any rain with this. It'll swing through overnight tonight, but may bring us a few showers. And then this is a much more potent system. But even this one that's moving through the Pacific Northwest and into the Rockies right now is likely to bring us rain only overnight Friday night. So let's jump through future cast, kicking things off right now. It'll be nice and clear for most of the day today, but by the time we get to this evening, here's 6 o'clock, starting to see a little cloud cover swinging through, and around midnight or so, we'll have a little bit of rain. It's just going to be, you open the door tomorrow morning and you say, oh, did it rain? Because by the time most of us wake up, not us, but most of you wake up, it's probably going to be clear again. So just a little patchy light rain overnight. It's over by 4 or 5 a.m., and then we'll see skies clearing fairly quickly. There is the possibility that we would see a little bit of fog in the morning, but Futurecast really showing a lot of clearing for us. So here's the way it's likely to go for the rest of the day today. And don't be distracted by the rain. That's just going to be overnight. So nice and dry all the way through 5, 6 o'clock. We start to see the clouds thickening up again, and it's a 20% chance of rain overnight that we'll see. We jump on ahead, and on Friday, we'll watch the clouds increasing again. This is 8 a.m. on Friday, so it'll be variably cloudy. We should have at least some sunshine before the front arrives. We'll see that front moving in again, sort of the same timeline, probably 7, 8 o'clock. We begin to see some of that rain moving through. The front moves on past around midnight. But look at what happens here at lunchtime on Saturday. We don't instantly clear out. There's a second disturbance that'll swing through behind it, which could bring us a sprinkle. Most of us probably won't see that, but there could be a quick little sprinkle that comes through, and the clouds may be with us up through lunchtime. Look at the mountains. This is a big ski weekend, so a lot of folks are maybe headed to the mountains, and there may be some snow late Friday night into Saturday, which would be exciting for a lot of people. 59 today, 61 Thursday, 57 on Friday, so nice mild temperatures. Our normal high this time of year is around 50. We get back to that behind Friday's front. We'll see clearing late Saturday, and Sunday looks nice and dry. Of course, the holiday on Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, looks nice and dry too with 49, and it stays on the cooler side through Tuesday, but dry, and certainly we do need to dry out.
Well, this will have you scratching your head. A confusion in the barnyard. A lamb who thinks it's a cow. This farmer's confused.
Also ahead, we'll introduce you to our pet of the day. That's a cat that looks like a cat.
The most experienced team of meteorologists. Weather coverage you can count on.
Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi just finished speaking on the floor. This is a live look right now at another lawmaker, but I want to summarize what she said. She called President Trump a, quote, clear and present danger. She added that Trump has, quote, repeatedly lied about the outcome of the election in November and cast doubt on democracy. We are now going to hear from other lawmakers leading up to a vote that is expected to happen between 3 and 4 p.m. Back to you.
Micaiah, thanks. Tokyo still plans to hold the Olympic Games this summer, despite dealing with a vicious wave of COVID cases. Why Japan is facing a state of emergency and the difficulty the country is facing with getting residents vaccinated. That's new at 4.
A big milestone for NASA's Curiosity rover. It has now spent 3,000 days on Mars. They're Martian days, not Earth days, by the way. And Martian days are longer, about a half hour longer than Earth days. So it's been a lot of time there. NASA says the rover continues to make new discoveries as it gradually climbs up a mountain. It landed on the red planet on August 6th, 2012. It's been exploring the 3-mile-tall Mount Sharp since 2014. How cool. Well, the world's insect population is on a steady decline. That'll upset a lot of folks. Bug experts estimate the Earth loses about 2% of insects every year. Two bugs particularly in danger, honeybees and monarch butterflies. Now, that's a problem with the bees. Those creatures are proven to be crucial in pollination and the world's food chain. Scientists say despite the damage done, with the exception of climate change, a lot of negative effects can be reversed to help the insect populations.
Hope for becoming crazy rich is still alive. The Mega Millions lottery jackpot now stands at more than $750 million after no one hit all the numbers. Next drawing is Friday. And there's a drawing tonight for the Powerball to make you wildly rich. The estimated Powerball jackpot is worth $550 million. If someone wins that, it would be the 8th largest jackpot in Powerball game history. You can watch tonight's Powerball drawing live right before our 11 o'clock news on WRAL. A lamb at a farm in northern Japan is attracting a lot of attention because of this guy. The lamb resembles a cow. It was born on New Year's Day, so almost 2 weeks old now. Farmers said they have never seen such clear black spots on a sheep. The lamb will be displayed at the farm starting April 10th. Chick-fil-A needs to get on that. Reminds me of Chick-fil-A's mascot.
Somebody's got to market this.
So
it's
cute.
Too cool. It's a little confusing, though, I tell you. If he moves, I'm out.
Its name should be Cal. Oh, just saying.
Before we say goodbye today, we do want to introduce you to our pet of the day, a curious charmer with soulful eyes. This is Curtis. He's playful and talkative, especially at dinner time. He's looking for a very special patient family who will give him the time he needs to feel comfortable in a new environment where he can prove that good things come to those who wait. The 5-year-old boy is neutered, microchipped, fully vaccinated, and you can see him in person. You can fill out an application as well. Go to Cat Angels website.
Oh, he does have eyes that are just mesmerizing.
Piercing.
Contact catangelsnc.org. Well, that is it for WRL's new news. We want to leave you a last look of the lamb that looks like a cow in Japan.
You get along with just about everyone. That is just too cool. Enjoy that and enjoy your day.